amen with what we're going to speak on today. Amen. We're just going to get right into it. We're not dismissing the children. We're not going to do the 2 minutes of godly fellowship. I don't plan to be before you too long. But I believe that, amen, that as the Lord uses me on this afternoon, I believe that hopefully it will be gripping. It will be touching. It will grasp your attention. Some of you might find yourselves in what we're going to talk about on this afternoon. Amen. And amen. If we can just all stand for the reading of the Word of God, and I'll be the first to tell you, I am not good at all the introductions and all the stuff you're supposed to say. Like, I'm not good at that stuff. Every time we have to go out and sing somewhere, amen, I always mess it up. It is what it is, but I love the Lord. That's all I know.
All right.
Amen. So I'm going to try to do this right in the beginning. Give an honor to God. Amen. And to the pastor and assistant pastor, and some people say the angels of this house. Amen. And all the elders and deacons and ministers and saints of God in their respective places, the ushers and everyone, and to all the saints of God, I say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. As we stand, we're going to start off, and I don't plan on being before you long. Amen. But we're going to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're just going to read 2 verses of scripture together, and then I'm going to ask that you all be seated. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19. We're going to start at 19, then we're going to finish in 21. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's on the board. Hallelujah. Amen. Verses 19. Do we have it? If you haven't, say amen.
Amen.
Get this up a little higher. Amen. Let's read this together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word, and let the church say the word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. I thank God because I got through that already. That was all right, right? I am not good at that stuff.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. But as I was in prayer and meditation concerning what I was going to speak on this afternoon, amen, it just kept coming to me throughout the week. Just say, give them your testimony. Amen. Just kept coming to me. Give them your testimony. So, on this afternoon, amen, I'm going to just give you, amen, my testimony. And in doing so, it goes back, and then it comes forward. And you'll see the transition as it goes through. And again, I hope that it's going to be gripping and catch your attention. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you a little bit of how I was brought up and how I came about to be in the situation that I am today. It was for me. Amen. You can't, no one can tell your testimony like you can, but for me it was so powerful. And I think that some of us might find ourselves in here somewhere. Amen. I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures, real quick before I give you the title of what we're going to call today, and then get right into it. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to Galatians 6th chapter. We're just going to read one verse of scripture out of there before we go on. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 7. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, and I'm not going to stick around, so just, I'm not going to wait around. Let's just move forward. Amen. Verse 7 reads, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's turn really quickly to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and verses 6 and 7. And like I said, you can turn to it, but hopefully she gets it on the board, but we're not going to stick around too long. We're just going to read and jump right into it. Amen. And Isaiah 55th chapter, verse 6 and 7 reads, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let's turn really quickly to Job, the 33rd chapter. And we're going to read verses 14 through 18 of Job. Job chapter 33, verse 14 reads, "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not, in a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword." Amen. So let's just jump right into this thing. And as I'm giving you my testimony, I am a little rusty. Amen. Because I did speak about it. I was speaking to an individual probably a month ago. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt not to use names. Amen. And I'm going to attempt to recreate what it was. And I might have a few of the things a little mixed up because it's been a while and it's been over time. Amen. But the chapter or the title we're going to use today is, "How Well Do We Read the Signs?" Amen. "And What Is Our Response?" Amen. And then in parentheses, I have my testimony. But again, how well do we read the signs, and what is our response? Amen. As we go along in life, every day we see signs. Those of us that drive, we constantly see signs. Signs telling us one way, and signs telling us do not enter. Other signs telling us to yield and to watch for this. And then you can go on to the different items that we eat and drink. There are signs and things on there. If we get something hot, maybe from Dunkin' Donuts, we see signs of the vapor. They just pictures. Sometimes signs are just in pictures. It doesn't always say things, but we know the meaning. Amen. And so sometimes, like a hot cup of something, we see the signs. It has steam, like the picture of steam coming up. It's telling us if you drink this, that this is hot. And we have signs if we go to work, or if we're going into the mall, or we're just at our everyday banquet. Sometimes when we come in church, there might be signs in these little yellow things that they stick on the floor, and it shows signs of like this. Amen. And it's letting us know that the floor is wet. And sometimes we obey the signs, and sometimes we don't obey the signs. And when we don't obey the signs, oftentimes we pay the consequence of that. Amen. So when we see those yellow signs that like this, amen, sometimes every once in a while we see a kid just running all innocently and just going down, and you see it ahead, and you see the next thing you know, and you just like this, just watching them as they go along. You know, and there's times as those of us that drive, amen, we see signs, and then we can turn on the news, and for whatever different reasons, sometimes people are under the influence of alcohol. Amen. And sometimes we turn on the news and we see on the thruway, on the northway, in different parts of the country, that somebody missed a sign. Amen. And they went the wrong way. It says, these signs say do not enter, and you're getting on a freeway or on the thruway. And sometimes we see that later on they caused an accident because they missed the sign. They misread the sign. And next thing you know, tragedy happened and people have lost their lives Amen. And sometimes we miss signs due to weather-related issues. Amen. And sometimes there's great fog, and you might drive this road all the time, but you just can't see through this or through a thick storm of maybe the winter or rain, and you can't see what's going on, and you miss the sign, and next thing you know, we turn on the news again, and tragedy has happened because we missed the sign. So again, how well do we read the signs, and what is our response? As a young boy, I grew up with parents that brought me up in the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember on last Sunday, Sister Karen was talking about how she was raised up in church. And later on, as we get into this, a lot of times I've given my testimony, and it oftentimes brought tears to my eyes later on. So I'm just going to be uncut and open, and can we be real today? Amen. Amen. And so I was brought up in the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved at an early age. I was a young boy. Amen. And when I was saved, as soon as I was saved, there was something different. There was something special about me in Christ. There was something special. There was a calling on my life. As a little boy, when I got saved, I'm horrible with dates and ages and all that. I'm terrible. Amen. But I could have been 7, 8 years old when I got baptized originally. And I remember as a young boy, I was set on fire right there. Amen. And I remember as a young 8-year-old boy, I remember running out to the parks because we used to go and witness to people. Amen. And we used to go to the parks, Pigeon Park over here in Troy. We used to go downtown. We used to witness. And I remember I, as a young boy, 8, 9 years old, however old I was, don't quote me on it, but I brought adults to church.
Right.
I was responsible for some adults being saved. Amen. I spread the word, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you as a young boy. So as a young boy, I was a threat to the adversary's kingdom. Amen. And I was brought up in a time where it wasn't too much that was sugarcoated. When people went on and they expired and their time here on earth was up. Amen. There wasn't no sugarcoating back then. Amen. You know how you go to funerals nowadays, everybody was saved and they're looking down on me from heaven. I know now that everybody know they lived no kind of life for Christ, that they were, you know, right there with the best of them, doing everything we're not supposed to be doing. And you go to these funerals on any given day, and we have preachers preaching these people into heaven. But I didn't grow up like that. I grew up knowing that this person wasn't living right, and, you know, and so it was instilled into me at an early age, so I knew, you know, I knew, but I need to move on. I knew about the fear of God, and I knew, I was scared of death. At the time, I was scared of death. Now, we in Christ know, amen, that, amen, the scripture talks about to die and be with Christ, which is far better, but when I was a little boy, I didn't know about all that. I knew that if you didn't die, if you died and you weren't in the right place with God, there's no coming back from that. When I grew up, I knew about a heaven and I knew about a hell. I knew about if I wasn't saved, then I didn't live right. And if I wasn't saved when I died, I knew that there was this thing called the lake of fire that the Bible speaks about that burneth with fire and brimstone, and it wasn't no sugarcoating back then.
That's right.
I know the church nowadays starting to look totally different than what it used to look like because the adversary done crept up in the church, and the Bible speaks on that too, but it wasn't no sugarcoating. Amen. Young people and old people, it didn't make a difference. I knew better. Amen. So I was raised in a Christian school, and I came up in things, and I like any teen nowadays, but things today, I mean, it's so far worse. The Bible talks about how it's just going to progressively get worse and worse. And young people, nowadays, what you all see on a daily basis and what you hear on a daily basis and the conversations that are had on a daily basis are nothing like it was then, but at the time, I was like 18, but I was a child of God, but I made my mistakes here and there. But some of the scriptures that we read about just now that I read, amen, were some of the scriptures that came through in prophecies when God was dealing in the church. And see, I'll tell you this right now. You could be sitting here today, and the Word of God is so powerful. It is so powerful that you think it's like, man, who told him or God? Man, you're talking to me. But you know what? It's hidden. This person and that person here. I'm not the only one that sits in church sometimes and it just seems like we're just getting beat down with the Word of God. Amen. Because that's how powerful the Word of the Lord is. It goes forward and back and it cuts all over. Amen. That's how powerful God is, because He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to speak to you in your circumstance. And somebody else is going through something totally different. And the power of the Word of God is speaking to that individual as well concerning their situation. We serve, saints of God, we serve an awesome God.
Amen.
Amen. So I grew up on, you know, when I did something wrong, amen, like any young person nowadays might fall into, when I fell into sin or whatever, when I would come in and into the church and the Word of the Lord, and God wanted to get my attention, and all of a sudden out of the clear blue there was prophecies coming forward talking about warning coming before destruction, and you better get yourself right, because amen, God's gonna close a door that no man can open, and the way a tree falls, that's the way it's gonna lie, and if you die in your sins, amen, I'm gonna laugh at your calamity because you're not taking heed to the Word of God. That's the way I grew up.
That's right.
Amen. So I would sit in church as a young person, as a 13-year-old, and as a 16-year-old, and as an 11-year-old, and God would be speaking to me if my life wasn't straightened, and I fell into sin, and I was doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. Why? Because God chose me. God called me. He baptized me at a young age. Amen. He called me to the kingdom. So saints of God, young people, old people, in between people alike, amen, when God calls you, when you go down in Jesus' name, it's kind of like a movie that we may have seen or known about. It's never, ever, ever, ever gonna be the same. It's never, ever gonna be the same. Amen. So that's the road we go down. Amen. But amen, we understand that on the other side of that road, when we live right, if we live right, a song we sing is, heaven belongs to me. And you know, there's those, it's not bad. It's good. This is what it's all about. We're created, amen, to worship God and to follow in His footsteps. Why? Because He gave all for us, for you and me. Amen. Amen. But there is the other side of that. Amen. And we get going in this life and we deal with the influence of the adversary all around us. Amen. Saints of God, young people alike, amen, do you know the God of this world, the lowercase G-O-D, the God of this world is the adversary. The adversary is not God, the capital G, but the adversary is the God of this world. And the scripture talks about He runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself. He's trying to grab us. Amen. He's trying to pull us under His wing, under His web of deceit, of destruction. Amen. Why? Because He's jealous of you and I. Because His fate is sealed. And as we sit here this afternoon, amen, our fate is, amen, it's up to us. Amen. It's up to us. We have the power of Christ in us. Amen. So we have the power of God to live right. So we don't have to live in fear, but you know what I mean? But so when I would do wrong, I would come into church, and every now and again, God would want to get my attention. And just for the sake of, I don't like using this terminology, but just for the sake of everybody understanding what I'm talking about, I would have these come into Jesus moments where God was really speaking to me, and I knew that I needed to get myself together. Amen. I needed to get myself right because God was speaking. And if God's speaking to you, the word of God says, harden not your heart. These are the prophecies that I used to hear as a young boy. Amen. When the Lord is speaking to you, harden not your heart. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I went on to college. I went to school out in Philadelphia. I think I was 18 when I went to college. I was in school for 2 years. I never graduated. I was smart as any of them. Amen. But I never graduated because, like I said, I went to a Christian school, and I was, you know, I was probably a little sheltered and things, and I just couldn't wait to have my moment. I couldn't wait. So I got out to college. I went out to college in Philadelphia, and man, it was party time. And I'm not saying this in a braggatory way, but it was party time. So I was waking up in the mornings, and I was waking up the next morning. In fact, I was waking up thinking that I had missed the whole day because I didn't care about sleeping. I just couldn't wait to get to the next situation. Amen. And so I failed out of college. Amen. Not because I had to fail, but because I wanted to live my life. And I'm leaving some things out, whatever, it's not important. Amen. But the important thing is where we're going. Amen. So 2 years I was in school. And then, man, after I failed out, I found my best friend in college and all. And man, you couldn't tell us anything. Man, you know, we did everything. We did whatever, you know. And I was moving to New Jersey. I was moving to New Jersey. I couldn't wait. We had just come from this huge jump off out in Philadelphia, where some of you may have heard of it and known about it or whatever. They call it the Greek Fest, and you know, man. And, we had just come off that, and man, I couldn't wait. I was just moving to New Jersey. I was leaving everything back up here. I didn't want to be saved. And over this time, I'm coming to church now, and now we're coming to this moment where God's trying to get my attention again. Amen. And God's trying to get my attention. So prophecies are coming forth. Harden not your heart. You know, and I'm going to judge it. I'm just cutting through. I'm just trying to, you know, speed this along. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But this time around, I didn't want to hear it anymore. Amen. And I was scared. I was so scared because I knew God was talking to me, and I knew the consequences of if God is talking to me and I hardened my heart. Amen. I grew up in a time where I knew about a few people who God was trying to reach, and that hardened their heart. And I'm not going to say names on this afternoon, but one, I'll give you two situations. One situation, it was a brother in our church, and he was witnessing, I forget if it was a family member or if it was a friend, but he had been witnessing to this family member saying, hey, you need to come to church, you need to come to church. And this person kept saying, hey, I'm gonna next Sunday, next week. And it kept being next week. And as a young boy, I heard about these testimonies. And right, so then they went on a fishing trip of some sort, this individual did. Okay, and it was supposed to be that Sunday that they were coming to church, and God had been trying to get his attention. Yeah. What happened is this man didn't make it to that next Sunday.
That's right.
He went on a fishing trip, and something happened, and I don't remember how the exact situation went, but he drowned in a pond of water, in a pool of water. It wasn't even deep, but he drowned before he could make it to Sunday. But God was trying to get his attention. This is how I grew up. I grew up knowing you don't play with God.
Amen.
You don't play with God. When he's trying to call you, young person, it doesn't make a difference. Old person, when he's trying to call you, he's trying to get your attention. I knew you didn't play with God. These are the testimonies I grew up under, knowing that certain people that I knew of did not make it. There was another sister that had been saved, and what happened? There was something happened, and they had to have a surgery on their knee. Just your run-of-the-mill, everyday surgery. Amen. And this is why, saints of God, when you're not in the place of God where you're supposed to be, even something little needs to be serious. That's the fear of God. That's what he puts inside of us. And thank God for that. Amen. But I grew up under these testimonies. And so this individual, God had been trying to get their attention, and they were fighting against God. They didn't want to surrender. They didn't want to give. Amen. And he had a surgery, and the surgery was successful.
Yes.
Everything was good.
Amen.
Or at least we, at least they thought. What happened? They had a blood clot. This blood clot traveled from the knee up to the heart. This person died in that situation, in that condition. I grew up, saints of God, as a young person, knowing this, that you don't play with God.
That's
amen.
Right.
And, amen. And so when I talk about the fear of God, when those prophecies were coming forth, I already knew the consequence if. Because God was talking to me. It wasn't nobody else. I don't know who else he was talking to me. And right now, as he's talking to somebody, somebody's right now. Amen. Because that's how the word of God is. Amen. But this time, it was different. I was so strong in what I wanted to do. I was set to the point, no longer did I care. My heart was cold, turned against God. And it wasn't that I had in my mind that I'm turned against God, but that's the reality, what it was. What it was I wanted my life, the woman, the fast things, and you know what I mean? Everything was set up. As soon as we got to New Jersey, it was gonna be crazy, nuts. But over this time, I'm going to New Jersey and we're fighting. I was from New York, I was a little bigger at the time, and I was the muscle, so anywhere you go, if you're from New York, everybody thinks it's New York City. It doesn't make a difference. But my boys down in New Jersey, they were in crazy beef. Guys we were messing with, they had guns. It was crazy, right? And God was still trying to get my attention through all this. And where I'm going to parties and things like that, and clubs and things, and everywhere around me, this is just part of God trying to get my attention. Young people, old people alike, just listen up. God was trying, there was death happening all around me. Thing, people were dropping. I'm at parties. I wasn't at no party where a shooting didn't happen or somebody getting stabbed up. All around me. And the thing is, I'm there. Young people, I'm there and I know better. I know I'm not supposed to be here. Amen. And so every time we had a situation going on where there's fighting or whatever, I'm from New York. I have to represent, right? I'm the muscle. My boy's looking for me. I couldn't leave them hanging, right? But every time we got in a situation, my heart was going so fast. So everything I did, I had to do to, you know, because I knew if I died, I knew the result. All right, so I'm living in this fear and things are going on all around me. So, long story short, there's all of a sudden all these, and I'm just speeding it up. There's all these prophecies and things going on in church at the time. And God is talking to me and death's happening around me. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm going. I want to live my life. No long later for this. Okay, I'm done. At that time, God had been dealing with quite a few people in the church. But there was one brother in particular. And I'm just going to quickly give a bit of his testimony. And it's really gripping. And his brother, God had been trying to get his attention. And he was, according to his testimony, he was really fighting it. And God had to put him in a place. He put him on his back. But it goes much deeper than that. We see there's books out there and things. You go to the Christian library and things. You can look online and you can see books of people talking about they had a out-of-body experience. People talking about they went to hell and back. People talking about they went to heaven and back. You know, all these things that we don't know what's believable, whatever. But I know this right here was real. And there was a gentleman in our church at the time, and God had been dealing with him. He was fighting God. And all of a sudden, something went on in his body. And longer story short, not to get into too much detail, God put him on his back, and he was in the hospital, and he was fighting for his life. And he had to get a surgery. And when he went under the knife, God started to move in such a way. And this brother came in, and he was in the church, and he was giving his testimony. And he talked about how God took him to the very gates of hell. And while this was going on, amen, he was under surgery, and he saw himself laying on the table under the surgeon's table. And he saw himself, his spirit really leaving from his body. And just again, not to get into too much detail for time's sake, amen, he started to talk about this. And I'm sitting here in the church somewhere. It wasn't here, but I'm sitting in the church somewhere. And God is dealing with me. And God has to be dealing with people. And I'm fighting it in my mind. I'm like, I don't care. I gotta do what I gotta do. I don't care later for this. And it's going on, and he talks about how God took him to the very gates of hell. And he was talking about, and old people, young people, people in between need to realize what's going on here. He talked about, at this place, he said he was so scared. He said it was cold, it was dark. He said it was so scary and stuff. He said he couldn't even call Jesus. He couldn't, at the time, he couldn't even say anything. And he's watching this is going on as he's away from his body now. And God has him at the very gates of hell. And he's talking about it's so cold. He was so cold, it was lonely. And he was talking about, and here's the part that we need to take this into consideration. There was, mom couldn't do anything for him. Dad couldn't do anything for him. His wife, his children, his brothers, sisters, no one could do anything for him at the time. He was there at the gates of hell. Faced, it was between him and God. It was between him and God. God moved everything out the way. It was between him and God. And eventually, saints of God, we are going to come to a time where everything is going to be moved out the way. Everyone is going to be moved out the way. And it's going to be us and God and our father, our mother, our sister, brother, husband, wife, best friend, uncle. No one is going to be able to do anything for us. We're going to come to that time. And everyone has a time. Everyone has a time. And if we look at the news and we look around, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, this is my testimony.
True.
Amen. We look out in the news and we see it happens to young people, younger people, on up. Has no limits to age or anything.
No, sir.
And it was between him and God. And we read a scripture. We read the last scripture we read was in Job. Job 33rd chapter. It says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbereth upon the bed. I'm just looking at the time. Amen. We have a little more time. Amen. Amen. So again, in 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbereth upon the bed. Amen. God deals with us in dreams and visions and things of that nature. And as he's talking about being there at the very gates of hell, and it was so scary as he, I'm not doing any justice. It was so scary. God is just talking directly to me, and I'm sitting in the pews, and I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to get to New Jersey. Now I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's how important it was. And for me at that time, because my mind was made up. I was done. And it wasn't even about God. But the thing, when I look back on it, I realize it was, but we don't see that it's about God. It's just about us and what we want to do. That's why the Bible talks about giving up yourself, giving up what you want, and understanding that we are to follow Christ, and as he plans a path for us, that we're to follow that path. But it's about giving up, denying yourself, forget you. Because at the end of the day, I think Elder Mackey, or one of the elders or ministers, said it recently, we are our worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. It's about what we want to do. It's about us, our life. And it's gotten so bad to the point we go on Facebook and we go on Twitter and everything else and all those other social medias, and everybody has a million pictures of them, and all the selfies are in, and you know what I mean? And it's all self-glorification. Yes. Yeah. I asked earlier if I could just keep it real. I'm not talking to anybody specifically, but the reality is all this social media, the adversary, it can be used for good, but the adversary has crept in, and all we're doing, people in church, how much are we pushing God on social media? In fact, we have people that are in the world who want to preach to everybody, don't have no kind of knowledge of Christ, no relationship, let me say, because everybody has a knowledge of Christ, but no personal relationship with God. They don't really have those experiences, but they want to be preaching to everybody else. Have no clue. Tearing up scriptures, using scriptures all wrong or whatever. But back to what I'm saying is social media has become this whole thing about just self-glorification. Who can get the most hits? Who can get the most likes? Look at me, 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 me. And it wants to give us up-to-date stats on what you're going to do or what I'm going to do. I'm about to leave my house. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be there. It's all about us. That's what it's come down to. So the reality is we are our own worst enemy. Back to what I was saying. And it was about me and what I wanted to do. And so as he's describing being here at the very gates of hell, and he was scared and it was so cold, you have this grown man crying, and as I just read in dream, in a vision, as I'm sitting here in church, I remember I was sitting on this side, not in this church, but I was sitting on this side, and my eyes were closed because I didn't want anybody to know that God's dealing with me, but I also didn't want anybody to know how scared I was. I'm a 20-year-old man sitting up in church, and I am shook because God is speaking to me, but even more so because I am not with it. That's how we talk, right? I'm just not with it. God is talking to me, and he's showing me things, and then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, my eyes are closed. All of a sudden, I enter into this vision as I'm sitting there in church. And every time I think about the vision, it was so scary. Where I try to smile right now but it always brings tears to my eyes because it was that real. So I'm sitting there. This guy is describing, amen, the very gates of hell and everything, and I'm scared. And all of a sudden, this vision. I'm here, and I just, in the vision, the whole church is just filled up, and people are just crying like crazy, and I don't know what on earth is going on, and I'm looking around, I'm sitting over here somewhere, I'm looking around, and people are just crying and crying and crying, and I happen to look to the front of the church, and again, this is not this church, but I happen to look in the front of the church, and in the front of the church, there's a casket laid out. And so in the vision, amen, in the vision, God just showed me, and I make my way into an aisle, and I don't remember in my vision if I was literally walking or if I was being carried, like in the movie kind of, just in, and I'm sitting in church and he's talking about this, and let me tell you, I grew up in a time too where church with prophecies and stuff come forth, man, those things are so scary. On yes, top of that, because yes, because people knew that God was dealing with people, right? And you heard people in the church during these prophecies just wailing and crying, and so the prophecy is scary enough, and these people by the church are just, I'm not talking about my vision now, I'm just talking about the prophecy. People are just crying because God is dealing with this person, that, but also people are knowing that, you know, people are hardening their hearts, and again, knowing the results of what could happen if we harden our hearts. And so, back to my vision, I'm making my way up, and the closer I get to the front of the church, to this casket that's laid here, amen, the closer I get, I'm getting a little more slow and a little more scared. And I finally make my way to the front of the church, and I get close enough, and I'm scared, and I look over the casket, and I see myself laying there. Amen. This is my testimony. God is dealing with me. I see myself laying in the casket. Saints of God, you know what I said? I didn't care. At that point, I didn't care. It was that deep. The hooks of the adversary was that deep. Don't get it twisted, though. I'm telling you, I didn't care. I was scared out of my mind. What's going on there? Let me explain. God is telling me, if you do not surrender, this is you. Me, I'm not talking about anybody. This is, if you don't surrender, I'm calling you. Amen, excuse me. I'm trying to get your attention. And if you don't surrender, this is what's gonna happen. Again, I say to God, that's just the way I grew up, knowing you don't play with God. Amen. So try to speed it up. At that point, I said, I'm sitting in church and I'm seeing this, and he's still talking about what happened to him. And I said, God, I don't care. Just let me, remember me again. Let me make it to New Jersey. That's all I care about. Just let me make it to New Jersey. You're showing me the wages of my sin. This is not about the Bible right then and there. This is a direct line, a direct hit to me, okay? That the wages of my sin is gonna be death. And I said, just let me get there and just let me have a few weeks, because I just cared about me. And I was that strong, and I'm reminded of Brother Samson. Remember in the Bible, Brother Samson, Delilah will keep coming at him, trying to get his secret. What is your secret? Can you please tell me your secret? Why? Because the Philistines were going to give her some riches that she could reveal to them Samson's secret. And every time, Samson would tell her a lie. And she would come in and she would say, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Amen. And Samson every time would get up and just destroy everybody who was around. Just destroy it with his bare hands. If you don't know the story of Samson, you gotta read the story of Samson. It's good stuff. Amen. But there was that time when Samson finally did reveal his secret. He said, if you cut the locks of my hair, that there was a promise made to God that my hair would never be cut. And if you cut the locks of my hair, that I would lose all my strength and all my power. So when he gave her that information, of course she wooed him and put him to sleep and cut the locks of his hair. And she said, this time, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And this time, Samson arose to do what he had always done. This time, I was leaning back on all my experiences in church, where normally it was a coming to Jesus moment, where normally what I had known all this time was just going to come to pass again, and it's going to make me respond and get myself right. But this time I had revealed my secret. And the secret this time goes back to what we talked about in Matthew. For where your treasure lies, there will your heart be also. This time it just wasn't my mind and things that I was given to the world, to the adversary. I gave my heart away this time. And so when I when I would want to normally reach back and have that come to Jesus moment and say, this is going too far, I need to get myself right because I know I'm a child of God. Like Samson, my strength was gone. I had nothing left. I had nothing left, so I was just ultimately just exposed. God, just let me make it to New Jersey. So I'm just going to really speed this up. Hopefully I'll close this in the next 5 minutes or so. And like I said, I can't give you every detail. I go home that night. I'm 20 years old. My younger brother, I forget how many years younger than me. He is maybe 5 years. So if I'm 20, he's 14, 15, I don't know, right? We were staying at I lived with my mom at the time, my mother and father, and we share a room together, my brother Aaron. And my bed was here, his bed was here. I was so scared because I'm fighting God. I'm saying, God, I know your word is real, and I know I'm gonna die. Okay, but I just wanna, so I'm at night, I was petrified, I'm hot. I'm 20 years old, in the bed, under my covers, in my room, and I thank God that I had a roommate at the time, right? I jumped in his bed. He didn't even know it. That's how scared I was. 20 years old, grown man. Because I'm running from God. And I know better. You know, I told you about the experience. I know way better. So, but I said, God, no, absolutely not. I said, but if you show me one more thing, I'm not running anymore. Who am I? I'm telling God to show me what. He don't owe me anything.
That's right.
Right now I'm protruding. I forget the word I want to use. On the grace of God, I am what? Presuming on the grace of God. And I'm saying, but if you show me one more thing. Saints of God, we know when God's trying to get our attention. Trust me, please don't follow in those footsteps that I'm describing for you, because remember the guy we talked about Sunday, I'm coming Sunday? He didn't make it? Don't do what I did. I'm just sharing with you my testimony and how I got to where I am today. Amen. But I said, if you show me one more thing, and I thank God he did. Somebody who had nothing, I mean, they were actually related to me, but lived in Atlanta, lived down south, had nothing, no knowledge of it, that I'm going through anything. In fact, no one knows what I'm going through. I'm not talking. You think the last thing I need is somebody to be up in my ear. Justin, you know that God is talking to you. And I know. I don't want nobody saying nothing to me. I want to get down to New Jersey and it's a wrap, right? So all of a sudden a call comes from out there saying, hey, they had a dream about me. From out in Atlanta, they had a dream about me. Hey, is Justin okay? I had a dream about him. Something happened. Something happened to Justin. Is he okay? And got it up. That information got to me. And to this day, I say, thank you, Jesus, it did.
Yeah. Amen.
At that point,
amen.
And let me just tell you how scared I was. And this is, you know what God's dealing with you. The next day, I was home alone. During the day, I was in my bed. I refused to move. I heard birds, any bird, anything I heard outside, I was jumping. Because I know that I'm fighting God, and he showed me through a vision myself in a casket. And I'm still running, you know? And so that next day, when I found out, when I heard that somebody called from down south and was asking what happened to, I said, Lord, I can't run anymore. I can't run anymore. But saints of God, let me tell you, that's not the end of it, and I'm closing in a second. And this is very important. At that point, I knew if I was going to be saved, I knew I could not hold on to anything that I had previous me coming to this commitment to God. I knew I had to let it go. I'm talking talking to you about my boys and one in particular. Y'all know him actually, Elder. I use his name, Elder Jamal. Brother that, you know, he was here. Some of you might not know him. The brother that was here, they moved down south. Okay? My boys. Remember I talked about them? Jamal was, we to this day, we're like brothers. We were closer than I was with my own brothers. And he alike. I knew, coming to God, that I could not be successful in my Christian walk if I took anything with me that I had already in the world. I promise you, I made over 30 phone calls, guys, girls alike. And the main one, the first one was to my best friend, my brother Jamal. I cut him off. Cut him off completely. Yo, I'm not coming to Jersey. This is after I just gave it over to God. I got myself right and all. I'm not coming to Jersey. God, I started to share my testimony. I said, yo, nothing against you, bro. We can talk on the phone every now and again. I'm not coming. I can't come down here and see you. You can't come up here. It's not like that no more. No bueno. Right? I gave him up. Not knowing. See, we think we're giving something up, but you know how, man, we don't see as God sees. We can only see here. God knows it all. He knows what's going to happen. The whole time. Right? Remember, there's a scripture talking about having left your mother and your father, and then there's other scriptures just talking about hating your brother, hating your... It doesn't mean in that context, but just as Elder Camp described, preferring God over... You can't prefer anything over God, not a relationship with Him. I got rid of it all. And you know what God did? Like Abraham and Isaac. Remember God had Abraham go up to the mountain with Isaac, his son, his beloved son. He loved Isaac like crazy. And he said he wanted him to perform a sacrifice up there, and he was going to provide the sacrifice. So he had him, just him and his son, Isaac, who he loved, go up there. And when he got up there, he didn't have another sacrifice. So Isaac was to be that sacrifice. Amen. But God really didn't want Isaac to be sacrificed. He knew that Abraham loved Isaac. He didn't want him to be sacrificed. But he wanted to know that he preferred him more than the relationship that he had with his son.
Yes, amen.
So what happened was, as he laid him out and tied him up to be that sacrifice, he lifts up, let's call it the knife, to sacrifice his own son. And all of a sudden, God provided the ram in the bush, which was really what was going to be his sacrifice in the first place. But he wanted to know that Abraham loved him over anything that he loved the most in this world. And God knew. I loved Jamal at the time, outside of my mother, my father, my sisters. Amen. Over any other thing. Jamal was me, I was Jamal. And I gave him up, not knowing that God provided a ram in the bush. He really had it that Jamal was going to be saved, learning from my testimony. He really had it that some of my other friends were going to be saved from my testimony. But I gave it all up. Amen. And I found that out after, and shortly after. So, saints of God, I encourage us on this afternoon. Whatever it is that might be holding us back, whatever it is, if there's things going on in us that are not like Christ, and if God has been dealing with you, if God has been speaking to you, if God has been trying to get your attention, amen. When you come to that realization that, Lord, I'm done, I can't fight any longer, I can't run any longer, saints of God, give up whatever it is that you hold on to from the world, because what's going to happen, and it's happened time and time again, in the church. It's happened in churches across the world. It's happened in the Bible. Whatever you bring with you, when you come to the Lord, that you refuse to let go, is going to be the same thing that's going to turn your heart back away from the living God. It's going to be the same thing if it's the music. When God would have the Israelites go into these nations and destroy, he said destroy everything. Destroy their culture. Destroy their music. Destroy their cattle. Couldn't even bring their cattle with them. And when they did, it was there to turn their hearts against God. Saints of God, this is my testimony. Whatever it is, though, that you feel you can't give up, if God is speaking with you, or speaking to you, and dealing with you, and you want to give your life over to God completely, saints of God, you have to let that thing go. If it's a relationship, and here's what you do. Saints of God, realize, God knew how much I loved Jamal, my best friend. He knew that. He knew that. God would have it that we're happy. He knows what's best for us, though. And sometimes, even our best friend is not best for us. And sometimes, he has it that your best friend is going to be saved from your testimony. Amen. So as in closing, and I'm going to ask the altar workers and the altar team and Elder Mackey to come up. Amen. In closing, just I leave you with the question. How well do we read the signs? And the signs I'm talking about should be knowledge to everyone now. That's when God is talking to you. How well do we read the signs, and what is our response? Will the church please stand?
Can we say thank you, Jesus?